Welcome back, nerds, to another episode of Two Nerdy Dads. As always, Jimmy Palmquist and my awesome, excellent co-host, Jason Applegate. Say hey, Jason.
Hey, everybody. Hope you've been awesome.
And, of course, nerdy with your awesomeness. So, we are on episode 14. What do we got, Jason?
Big 1-4, baby. Let's do it.
Exactly. What do we got going on today?
Well, I thought we would start off with last night's premiere. We're recording this on a Wednesday. So last night's premiere of The Flash, the basically spin-off, in a way, of Arrow, still in that universe and so forth. And but it is definitely its own thing, you know, and I want to speak to that a little bit, too. Did you get a chance to watch it last night, or you got it on DVR or on demand?
I did. I think that 9 o'clock hour is magical, because 8 o'clock is just a little too early with the kids, but 9 o'clock, I can breathe and relax and actually watch those things. But how about yourself? Did you get to see it?
I did get to watch it. I was actually live tweeting while it was going on. So, if you want to do that, you can follow me at Applegate Jason on Twitter. It was cool. I actually was got a couple favorites from some of the actors that were in there, so I felt all like important and rubbing elbows, Twitter elbows with celebrities. So it was cool. And I have to say, overall, The Flash is good. I like it. I like it better than Gotham, and I know that's sort of blasphemy coming from a huge Batman fan, but you know, if you listen to the last couple of podcasts, how I feel about Gotham, and I'd like to speak a little bit on episode 3 of that, but I want to hit Flash first, and I like it as a compliment to Arrow, but like I said, I feel like it's its own thing, because it's really going with the supernatural, in a sort of almost Smallville kind of way. It reminds me a little bit of Smallville in that, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the premiere episode, you probably want to skip ahead a good 5 minutes and check and see, are we still talking about this? But the particle accelerator goes off and explodes, and that's what causes the lightning storm that strikes, a chemical-exposed Barry Allen and gives him his last superpowers, which is, you know, pretty cool. Definitely like in the comics, you know, a nice little sort of side twist to it. But apparently that same particle accelerator explosion has also given other people powers, who are going to, of course, be the villains in the story. And the first one in this episode was the Weather Wizard, which I thought was pretty cool. And so where Arrow has kind of kept it in the sort of pseudo-reality, you know, much like the Dark Knight films were, the Flash just jumped both feet in to the meta-human world with superpowers and just jumping right into that. And I thought that it was smart. I thought also it differed in regards to its tone. Much more upbeat, much more humorous, lighthearted tone. But it had its heavy moments, too. So I don't want to, you know, completely play it off like it's just this happy-go-lucky, you know, family show or something like that. But it definitely was not as dark as Arrow, and that makes sense when you look at the two characters.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm a little more mixed about the show than you are.
Okay.
Things I did not like. Let's start with that. Things I did not like.
Yeah,
I did not like how this could be, you referenced Smallville. I'm afraid it's going to go like the early years of Smallville, where there was a villain of the week, and I thought that got old really quick. And I really hope it doesn't go down that path, because they've already, you know, shown, I think it was just a trailer for the next episode.
Yeah.
And it was like Captain Cold, and it's like, okay, that's two in 2 weeks. Making me nervous. I hope there's more developed storylines.
Yeah.
I love Arrow. But I will go, I did not see Arrow when it premiered. I binge-watched the whole first season, and there's something to be said about binge-watching, because you watch 2, 3, 4 episodes at a time, and you get more of the story at once, whereas if you're piecemealed it like we are with network television, we don't know yet. So I'm not at a knock, but just more of a fear. I'm not quite sold on the actor yet in Place of Flash. Alex loved it, but they told me to shut up. So I'm personally not quite sold, but Allison thought he was great. So
that's great.
Shut it down. What I did like, I love that Tom Cavanaugh is back on TV. I loved him from Ed. I think he's a great actor. He's obviously a very good, bad character. What's he doing? What's his motives? I love that because that is going to be character development, which, again, I'm a little nervous with the supervillain of the weak method because then you use that as a crutch and you don't develop the writing. Other things I did like, I love Danielle Panabaker, who's the female scientist. I think she's great. I love her as an actor. She was in Sky High a long time ago, which I love that movie. It's silly to sound. I'm nervous about the other scientist because he reminds me of the two scientists that are on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And those
which you don't like.
They're wanting to be comedy, and I just felt the same way with this guy. I really enjoyed when they're in Star Labs and they're walking around. Tom Cavanaugh's giving them the little tour, explaining what's going on. And they pass the camera abroad. As cheesy as some of the things were in the show that I didn't like, I love the illusion of Grodd. I love that. I think he's a great character, and I'd love to see him be in the show. I'm not sure how they could do that, because that, to me, is a, as weird as it sounds, a movie villain. But this is a show, so I'd love to see him. I think he needs to be there at some point. Again, not right away. Go down the road with that one. I love the Flash's dad. I love the fact that they brought back the 1990s Flash. And again, I don't remember his name. I feel bad for that. But when they said he was going to be in it, I thought it was going to be like a little small piece or something.
Yeah.
Did a great job acting. I was really impressed with him, especially when, again, spoiler alert, and I don't know if it's been 5 minutes or yet, but we're still talking about it. and he goes to visit him in the prison, and it's like, oh, man, that's some great emotion going back and forth through the glass between father and son. I really enjoyed that. He's, I'm awful with names today. The African-American cop. I know he's been on a lot of shows, seen him before. I think he was on Law & Order. I think he is great in that, he's sort of the non-believer, and then at the very end, because he's witnessed it now, he's a believer. I like the cast, and again, as cheesy as it is, let's go back to Arrow, and let's assimilate Arrow into this to make the tie-in. I love that scene. I love Arrow. Great character. And I think that showed sort of the grittiness of Arrow, kind of sprinkling it a little in Flash, because I thought Flash was a little too cheesy at times. But I thought that the grittiness of Arrow kind of got there and was like, no, you need to do this because of this, and be who you are and do what you need to do. And overall, I thought it was, I want to see more, not like God, where I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to spend any more time on this. So in that, for the next, I think my biggest fear, though, is that they're going to do a villain of the week, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying with that. And the trailer was interesting. I mean, they showed Captain Cold. They showed, I think, the Mirror Master. And I wanted to speak just briefly, and I tweeted this out, too, that the Flash is, I feel like the Flash's rogues gallery is maybe one of the most underappreciated rogues gallery. He actually has a pretty cool rogues gallery. Some of the characters, the Weather Wizard, Captain Cold, Mirror Master, the Trickster, who Mark Hamill played in the old 90s television show.
Oh, I know.
I dropped that bit of knowledge before on this podcast. Yeah. You've got those characters, Piper, the Pied Piper, and a couple of other ones that, like, they're almost so sort of seemingly loserish that they're interesting.
Yeah.
And it makes them kind of cool, especially when they team up, as a whole team, and it's sort of a Sinister Six thing. And I don't know which came first, Sinister Six or the Rogues, as far as a team going up against Flash. But I was kind of excited to see that they were going to jump right into the comic, and I felt like part of what made Arrow strong was all the things that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. failed to do until much later in the season, which was drop in these nerd points, score some nerd points, drop in these characters like Deathlok and the Absorbing Man and stuff like that that are, your everyday, run-of-the-mill television watcher, you know, on the street doesn't know those characters. But your nerds do, and you get points with them, and you can kind of do what you want with that character and not take something away from the films like Marvel does. But, you know, Arrow jumped right into it with those characters. And I was excited to see Flash follow suit in that regard. I love that Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom, is has traveled back in time to kill Barry Allen's mother. You know, and then they hit that right at the beginning. I was like, oh, instant nerd point in you know, from me for that. And then it seems, again, big spoiler, so if you fast forward and we're still talking about it, you don't want to listen to this part, but it seems to me, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, that that's who the guy who ran the particle accelerator, who was in the wheelchair but not. Tom Cavanaugh, thank you. It seems to me he's got to be Professor Zoom, and he's kind of come back to, you know, make the Flash who he is, because he went missing in like 2024 or something like that. I thought is what the newspaper from the future had said. So I was excited about that, and I hear what you're saying about it being, you know, the villain of the week and kind of cheesy, and I hear that, and I have this same concern, but I don't think it's going to go that way. I feel like they have set up a nice foundation for story. The dad being in prison, I think, is a nice foundation for story. I feel like as stereotypical as it is, or as cliche, maybe some people might judge it, the love triangle thing that they set up, with the double love interest, I mean, it reminded me of Arrow. It's like, okay, you know, we're going to be rooting for him to get together with the scientist, and the whole time he's still going to be pining after Iris, which, of course, he's supposed to be with in the comics. And, you know, that, but I thought, well, there's some story that can develop there as well. And then the cop, I thought that was, I was kind of surprised that he revealed his identity so quickly, but I thought that could be potential for some story. But you're right, I don't think it's going to have the backstory that Arrow got with all the, you know, going back to his origins in the island. And frankly, I felt that kind of dragged on a little bit in the Arrow series. And I thought that, I think you're right. I think binge watching it, you might have, you know, it was okay, but I feel like if I had to deal with that every week, I don't know if they were giving me enough if I wasn't binge watching it myself either. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say real quick, it's hard to gauge too, because Green Arrow, I'm pretty sure the general population doesn't know who Green Arrow is.
True.
I think we have a better idea of who the Flash is. Maybe not his origin, but, you know, the Flash is the guy, right? I think the general population knows that, so I don't think we need so much of an origin with him. So I think going full flashback is okay, but, I don't know.
No, I agree with that. You didn't need to do the origin story. And I have to say, when it first started, I was nervous. I mean, I saw Professor Zoom, the Reverse Flash, and was like, oh, cool. And then after that, I was like, okay, uh-oh. Because of two things. One, that he was narrating. And I was like, great, are we going to have like a Wonder Years thing going on here or something? What's going on? And then two, was Iris. I just did not like her. Her first thing is like, oh, yeah, speak English, please. Can't talk this science stuff. And I was just like, seriously? And I tweeted that out, too. I'm like, oh, great, another female character that can't handle science, you know, can't listen to somebody talk science to her. And I just felt like, really, that's where we're going to go with this. But then they redeemed themselves with introducing the other character, who was played by, you said it, Daniel Panabaker? Is that how you say her name?
Yep.
And I'm going to impress you right now and do another little Twitter. She was one of the ones that favorited one of my tweets. So there you go. Got a little love from Danielle.
In an alternate universe where Allison and I are not together, I am dating Danielle.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, then in that alternate universe, she's tweeting me. So just so you know.
No!
That's right. Yeah. A little Luke Skywalker moment there. And then the other guy that you were talking about that I loved seeing in it was John Wesley Shipp, who played the Flash in the 90s when we grew up. And I couldn't agree with you more that his acting was way better than what he did in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. It goes, maybe it's because he didn't have the foam flash outfit on. I don't know.
I think that was part of what made it easier. The 90s fashion. If you get a chance, go back and watch those, listeners, especially if you are younger and didn't grow up with that. Go back, and I'm sure there's got to be stuff on YouTube or I know you can get it on Netflix. But
watch the episode with the Trickster, too, because that outfit was amazing as well.
Yeah, it's very 90s, and it's very, Batman just came out and was so successful. Let's try to replicate that as much as possible, you know, and you'll see what we're talking about if you check it out. But the writing was just awful, and Chip had nothing to work with. I think that's a big part of it, whereas here it seems like his writing's pretty good. I like some of the humor in it. The male scientist you spoke to, I kind of hear what you're saying there, but I kind of liked him in that I liked how they used him to explain some of the silly stuff on the costume. You know, the sound-canceling little lightning bolt side things, you know. It's like, oh, okay, they're trying to explain why. Because Arrow, if you have that pseudo-reality, you know, where you're grounding it in that, you have to realistically explain something. But then I love how at the end she's like, why a lightning bolt when he's putting it on the chest? And he just flatly says, because it looks cool. I'm just like, yeah, all right, that's good. Let's move on now. And then to talk to your other point, I thought was also good, and I agree with you, that having him go and talk to Oliver, talk to Arrow, Green Arrow, I thought was a nice moment, and I felt like it captured how the two series were going to be different. Arrow is vigilante, gritty, he's not really a hero, he does what needs to be done because nobody else will do it, that kind of a thing, whereas Flash can be, as he's going to be referred to soon, you know, a Scarlet Angel, you know, somebody that is there to be looked up to have this sort of positive mythos around him. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of Flash. Because if you read the comic, Flash is somewhat of a celebrity in his town.
Yeah.
And then I also enjoyed the cameo as sort of my last point. The Grodd reference. And also, I don't know if you caught it, but when he goes to test out his ability the first time, not the suit, but his ability, they are at Ferris Air Strip, which is, of course, a reference to the Green Lantern. And his love interest there and where he was working before he gets his power ring. So I thought that was kind of cool, and I'm sure nerds everywhere were sort of like, oh, could that be? You know, could something like that happen? I mean, we saw it with Smallville where they brought in all these different characters and even had a sort of Justice Society for an episode or two, of which I have not seen, but I just like what DC is doing with these two shows, and I think more of it. And then it just makes me think, Gotham, what is wrong?
Like, you know what's wrong? I'm going to get on my podium again and say, Fox is what's wrong. Come on, Fox. Step up your game. God.
Yeah, maybe that is it. I mean, it's just, I just don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I watched episode 3. I still just am not, I mean, I sort of like what they're doing with the Penguin and making him really sadistic, you know. I love that we don't really find out what happened to the guy with the same shoes, that he had the same size shoes in episode 3. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about, but when you do see it, I like more moments like that where they don't show you know, they leave it up to your imagination and things like that, and I felt like they haven't been doing that. Like I said in criticisms of it before, I feel like they're forcing it too much. They're being too obvious. There's no subtlety. That's the word. There's no subtlety in that show really at all. And the biggest flaw, just frankly, is no one cares. Like, none of the characters are relatable. Like, even Jim Gordon could be so relatable, but he's not. And I think part of it is because he's not flawed. He's too Boy Scoutish, and I'll go back to Batman Year One. I really think, why not use that material and go, not, you know, straight up and just make a television show of that comic, but do what they did right in that comic and then make your own way with it. I don't know.
That makes sense. I've given up watching that as it comes on. I'm going to go ahead and binge watch that to see if it gets better. And I know that sounds weird because there's always a threat of, well, you binge watched the whole first season and there was only one season because it got canceled because nobody's watching. But at the same time, it's like, you know what, I think if it's a show that I'm having a tough time getting through, I think that's the way to do it. Now, like Game of Thrones or Arrow, those are I'm going to watch as they come out because I love that stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, too. I think I'll probably still just keep plugging away at that one, kind of like I did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I did that for about five episodes and then dropped off and then jumped back in later for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know me, I have a weakness for Batman, so I'll probably stick with it a little while longer and see where it's going.
Man.
Yeah, it is. It is, and, you know, so be it. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you haven't seen Flash and now you skip forward and now you're okay, you're safe now, I think our recommendation is give it a shot and give it some episodes and let's see what happens. I'm excited about the Rogues Gallery. Jimmy's worried about the villain of the week, and I totally hear that. So hopefully they do have some character development and some story to give it some continuity. But I think it's promising. I really do. And I wasn't sure from the. I have to admit, from the commercials, I was just like, "Oh, this looks bad." And I think
definitely
pleasantly surprising. Yeah, cool, very cool. Well, let's move on to our next topic then, and that's some casting news. So why don't you start with actually your big news about a movie that you're excited about, and I love them too, but you're more of a fan than I am. So why don't you deliver that news about the new movie that's coming out and the information you have about it.
Sure. Now, this is, like I said, we're recording on Wednesday this week, and this just came out, so I have no idea how verified it is other than, I believe it was the writer, put it out on his Twitter. So that to me shows there's some validity to it. But it looks like Ghostbusters 3 is finally moving on, and it's sort of taking a move that was unforeseen. And from what I read, the speculation is after the death of Harold Ramis, and the difficulties trying to wrangle Bill Murray, they have gone a different route, and we're going to have the writer from Bridesmaid and The Heat, with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock, he is going to be writing Ghostbusters 3, and as you've heard earlier, I'm awful with names today, I don't know what, but I can't remember his name. Writer is going to be writing the script, not exactly sure on the development as far as like Dan Aykroyd or Ernie Hudson. My guess is they will be in it to tie it back to the original, but you don't know for sure. But right now, speculation is we're looking at an all-female cast, which I think would be awesome. And I don't mean to stereotype, but I would love to have like a Melissa McCarthy in there or Kristen Wiig or even both. I think that would be fantastic to have them as Ghostbusters. And you never know. I mean, someone in like a Sandra Bullock, how hilarious would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty shocking. I don't think anybody saw this really coming, but I think it's a good idea. I just felt my biggest concern with Ghostbusters 3 was that they were going to bring back the original cast, and I just thought, it's just like I haven't seen any of the new Adam Sandler movies like in the last 10 years, but like I loved Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore when they came out. But then everything after that, it's just sort of like, dude, you need to just stop making buddy films. And, like, you're not funny. And I don't know. That's just me and maybe a tangent topic. But I had the same concern for this. Is like, is this just going to be a reunion-y thing? And especially when you're hearing they didn't really want to come together. Like, Bill Murray's holding out. And frankly, I kind of don't blame him. Because it just seems like it was going to be trying to fit something that just doesn't have an audience. Whereas if they just completely reboot it, I think it's got a lot of potential to be successful just as much as it might have a potential to just be complete mess and fall apart. But why not take that risk? I think it's great that, I mean, if you listen to our podcast, you know we're all about engaging more of a female audience into nerd culture, that there's a market for that, and it's nice to see somebody recognizing that and maybe potentially plugging into that. And then the writers, I mean, I haven't seen the Heat one, or I don't think I've seen Bridesmaids either, but I know how successful they are, and it sounds to me like it's good writing. So, and that's essential in whatever you're going to do to be successful. So hopefully that's the case here, and I'm looking forward to see who they end up casting as each of the characters. And I want to know what the story is. I hope if Aykroyd is in it, that it's sort of a cameo, kind of like an A-Team or something like that, like something sort of later or sort of, and not sort of let me hand down the Ghostbusters to you. I kind of hope these girls just sort of like come across the packs or something like that, you know, and they're in a between a rock and a hard place, kind of like in the original Ghostbusters, where they're just trying to put things together, and you know, as professors, they're not doing so well, and then all of a sudden, here you go. And you get something similar to that, and they come across the old, you know, what the original Ghostbusters had, they come across that in some deserted building or something like that. I don't know. Not sure, but that's my theory on it.
Let me talk to you this. You most definitely need, with your beautiful bride, to go see Bridesmaids. Friendship. It is not appropriate for children at all. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is wrong and hilarious. So I highly recommend you watch it. It is definitely, I'm going to be chauvinistic here, it is definitely a chick flick with its humor.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But hilarious regardless. I loved it. I thought it was great. Allison loved it. So it's definitely one of those ones that is absolutely wrong, gross, raucous, raunchy. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a nice... If they tone that down a little bit and put it into Ghostbusters, especially, and I'm hoping that the writer has a knowledge of Ghostbusters beyond just the movie, like the comic books, which I think what IDW is doing with the comic book right now is fantastic. And they're into the past right now, and that's, granted, they're able to use all the characters because they never age and stuff. You don't have to worry about that. But bringing back with their latest story arc, the original storyline with Gozer and using Gozer's sister, Tiamat, which is fully created, or I don't know, but I'm assuming. And it's just great how they're using it. I love it. So I hope they get into the history and they do that. I would love to see some involvement with Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd. No, I don't want them to be, you know, the granddads on the porch being like, we were Ghostbusters here, now you need to do it. But I think it would be like raise a cult or something again and bring back bring back those characters and recruiting or passing the torch in a way, so to speak. I think that's fun. I'm very, very interested to see where this goes. And I hope it finally gets off the ground.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, I'm a Ghostbuster fan. I like the original movies. Both of them were fun. They're just fun movies, and there's not really anything out there like that right now. You know, that's got that supernatural but also fun in a goofy way kind of a thing. So it'll be nice to see that. Absolutely. And Slimer needs to make, like, you have to have Slimer. Like, that has to, no matter if how Aykroyd and Hudson, you know, reappear, Slimer has to be a part of it. Like,
well, do you know that this is more nerdiness? Do you know who Slimer represents?
No.
When Dan Aykroyd, because he wrote the original story, when he originally wrote it, it was supposed to star John Belushi. And obviously, John passed away, and it's sort of a reference to him, that's Slimer. Slimer is ode to John Belushi. Yeah.
That is so, you learn something new every day, and you've had a successful day. And so now, thank you, I have had a successful day. I can go to bed feeling like I've accomplished something now. That is actually really interesting, though. It's such a great, I mean, Belushi, such a tragic story, and he was so close to those guys that it's kind of cool that that's a nice little tribute to him. Yeah, thanks for that nugget of info. Cool.
I'm full of useless information.
as all nerds should be, really, right?
Exactly.
So, cool. Well, let's move on to the other casting news. And this came out a little while ago. It is Gotham-related. So I know I just went on a vent about Gotham. But Gotham cast Nicholas DeGasto as Harvey Dent / Two-Face. I don't even know this guy. He's from Masters of Sex. Didn't watch that. I kind of know what it is. But do you have any, like, background on this guy? Do you have any opinions on him? Seen him in anything?
No, I have no idea who he is. I know of the TV show. I've never seen it. I think it's on Showtime. But how are you going to show Two-Face? That's what I want to know. How does it get to Two-Face?
Yeah, I don't think they will. I hope not.
I hope not. Yeah. They're totally breaking all sorts of timelines that I could possibly think of.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah, I kind of hope they don't. I'm sort of thinking that they're just pushing it that way because nobody knows who Harvey Dent is. You know what I mean? Like the other thing, Harvey Dent / Two-Face is going to be played by this guy. And then they'll just let the story play out and see. But I agree with you. I hope that they don't because I think it's a huge part of Batman's storyline. I especially liked the way the animated series did it, where Batman felt guilty about it because he was there. Yeah. But I do think it could provide for some interesting storytelling, which we desperately need in this series, because what I loved also about the animated series was it showed that Harvey Dent already had this sort of personality disorder, that he was struggling with the stress of campaigning for re-election, and he would fly off the handle, you know, and they even had him seeing a psychiatrist, and it started with this bully that he thought he had, you know, put into the hospital, but it was an appendectomy and all that stuff, and it was just this great little storyline, and one of the brilliant things that Bruce Timm did with the animated series was rewrite some of the characters and made them deeper and more interesting. He did it with Two-Face, I think, here, and he's done it with Mr. Freeze and several others. They could go with something like that, show this guy is already having some flaws. And I felt like, you know, The Dark Knight was a Joker film, you know, but and so Two-Face took a back seat, but they sort of did that, like they hinted at his, you know, willingness to kind of, you know, flip the coin and that kind of a thing, but I feel like this show could run with that and make it certainly a lot more interesting. And it might be somebody that Gordon could have a relationship with, a friendship with, as a somebody that's on his side. Because Dent has always been known as, in the comics, as incorruptible and the Crusader as well. And I think the series needs somebody like that because, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on episode 3 right now, but it's like, there's this part in episode 3 where the Penguin gets off the bus and he's back in Gotham, and literally every crime you can think of happens on one block. There's like prostitution, a drug deal, a cop taking cash money from somebody. Like, there's like 5 things that happen in a series of 30 seconds all on the same block, and he says, "Oh, it's good to be home." And I was just like, this is just stupid. And it's in broad daylight, so it's not even like at nighttime or anything. And the problem is there's just too much of that corruption that it's unbelievable. It's like what you said about the first episode with all the cops in the room that want to blow the guy's head. Like, really? Really? I mean, even Serpico didn't have that many, you know, cops in his movie. It's just, so if they can get this other guy, maybe that sort of helps. And I have to also say something about you didn't see episode 3, but the villain in that one, or the criminal, whatever you want to call him, he's a vigilante, was the Balloon Man. Like, that's literally what they called him, Balloon Man. So I looked about to see, is there a Balloon Man in Batman's history? Is he, like, one of the lamest villains ever, kind of like Kite Man, or there's, like, some other dude that was, like, the Quilt Man or something like that? I mean, he's got some pretty lame villains, especially from the 70s and 60s, but... no, in fact, Balloon Man is actually he is a DC villain, but he comes from the Metal Men. Yeah, Metal Men. Exactly, the cream of the crop of DC. Anyway, I know a lot of people are, like, fans of the Metal Men, and it's got its own little thing, but he was literally a Balloon Man. Like, he was a Balloon Man. Yeah. So, and let me say, as lame as that sounds, this was not any less lame. I mean, he wasn't a balloon man, but he was still pretty ridiculous as a sort of villain of the week.
That's amazing, because from what we've heard, Fox paid a ton of money for Warner Brothers DC to get basically usage of any of the characters they wanted. And
yeah.
they go, oh, I mean, and there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of lame villains. You could pick a different lame villain and still be better off than that.
Yeah, and maybe it's just coincidental, you know, because you know how comics are, like, you know, every, you think you're coming up with something new, and nope, it's been done, you know, there is one already.
Wow.
And so, it, you know, maybe that's it, you know, it was just coincidence, and that's the only thing I could find, was this Metal Man, you know, Metal Man villain, but still pretty lame, and, the only thing that I do have to say that was, I was like, it's like in episode one when they did the Edward Nygma little, you know, tribute, which I haven't seen him reappear yet. In episode three, there's a character, and I guess he was in two, I missed the second half, the first half of two, so I didn't see him in two, but there's a character called Laszlo in there, and he's one of Fish, whatever her name is, Jada Pinkett Smith's character, I think. It's one of her little, like, boy toys. Well, that name is actually Professor Pig from the Batman series, who's a fairly recent villain, and now if it goes that way, ooh, he might be dark. And I feel like that's the other thing the series can do, is that if they could go a little darker with him, have characters like Zaz and Professor Pig and make it really gritty, like it has the potential to be, then we've got something here. But right now, it's just, I don't think it knows what it is.
I think we have a new segment of the week, and that is the most obscure, weirdest villain in DC history, and recommend that it ends up on Gotham. I think that's what we should do.
I love that idea, like, and we'll pitch it to them, and I will tweet it to them and see if we can get the same kind of response that,
nice.
That I got from Flash. I doubt it, but you know, we got to do our part, right, and reach out and try to make a difference in the world.
Well, my only fear is that our weekly segment will last longer than the actual show.
You know, I don't know how it's been doing, but I've heard that it's actually doing pretty well. Like, it's doing
good.
Decently. So I suppose it's good because maybe it gives it some time to get things straightened out.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we joked when, I don't know if you remember this show, The Cape. That came out in the early days of Nerd Locker, and we joked that we're going to outlast The Cape. Well, lo and behold, we certainly did.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. And I have to say that Gotham is, and it's not saying much, but it is better than The Cape.
Got that going for it.
It does. It does have that going for it. And maybe it gets better in the, like we said in episode one, maybe it gets better in the opposite way the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. Settle down a little bit and take some time and get some things going like it needs to. So,
cool.
Anyhow, enough venting on Gotham. Let's move on to basically our retro suggestion, which was tied into another bit of news that I frankly was sad to hear, and it really kind of made me feel old, which isn't hard to do, I suppose, nowadays, but was just sort of disappointing. But share what it was that you found and shared with me. And
yeah, it, to be honest, I didn't realize this was happening.
Yeah.
But I sort of did, because I'd sit down with the kids on Saturday morning, and I'd flip through the channels, and it never occurred to me, because we have so many channels now, but the main broadcast channels, which would include NBC, ABC, CBS, CW, and Fox, there was only one of them that had cartoons on it. And I'll be honest, it's usually the one we settled on, because James loves Sonic the Hedgehog, and there was a Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, but I personally felt like the cartoons were pretty crappy. Last weekend, if I read the article correctly, last weekend was the first ever since whatever, I don't know how long, that there was no animation cartoon on Saturday morning.
It's pretty sad. It was the CW was the final holdout, so go for you, CW. Way to hold out for us nerds. I mean, you're pulling your weight with Arrow and now The Flash and Supernatural. Well, I'm not a personal fan of that because I haven't jumped into it yet. I know how huge that is. They're doing some good stuff in the nerd realm. So but they couldn't hold out any longer.
No. And it makes sense, because the reasons I read were, and most of them had dropped them in the late 90s, early 2000s, which again, I guess college and girls were too important at that time. I didn't notice. But they said that with the rise of more channels, and then more recently with like Netflix, they found that it wasn't worthwhile to show cartoons on Saturdays for several reasons. One, it was no longer the only time they could show cartoons, so that the advertisers didn't necessarily have to force the issue with getting their advertising dollars on a Saturday morning and getting them on TV. And the other part was that all the networks, the broadcast networks, are required to run educational programs throughout the week, a certain number of hours, and the broadcast channels decided, well, we can throw away that time Saturday morning so we can get that out of the schedule and then focus on
Because no advertisers are going to want to advertise during educational programming, as sad as that is. But it's true, and so they got to do it sometime.
So I was surprised at that, because, I mean, I obviously, when we were growing up in the 80s, there was a whole different set of cartoons, with, you know, like Scooby-Doo reruns and Super Friends, and there's a plethora. But the 90s, to me, when you and I would get together and watch this stuff on Fox, I badmouthed Fox earlier, now I'm going to throw them some love, when they had Spider-Man, they had the X-Men, they had the Tick, and there was a fourth one in there, I can't remember what it was, but when they were putting those animations up, man, that was some awesome stuff.
Yeah, no doubt, and that, I think that's really the last of the glory days, but I mean, for me, it goes way back to, and this is what I want to do with our nostalgia, was, you know, talk about some of the cartoons that we grew up with watching on Saturdays. And for me, one of my favorites, and I loved being able to binge watch it on Netflix. It was on instant streaming. I hope it's still up there. And I watched it with my kids, and I was so glad that they enjoyed it as much as I did. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah.
I loved that cartoon. It
was the dog's name?
What's that again?
What was the dog's name?
The dog's, oh my gosh, you're quizzing me on the dog's name? The dog was the,
or something like that.
It was something awful. The dog was, he was the Orko / Snarf.
Yes.
Like, every cartoon had that character, right?
Yes.
I mean, all the cartoons were pretty formulaic, but every cartoon that I know I remember watching always had some sort of obnoxious character that you just could not understand why they thought that character was amusing, and maybe it was, but not to me, even when I was a kid. That's why I like to think, even as a kid, I wouldn't have liked Jar Jar Binks. I know my kids kind of don't, they don't care, they don't feel strongly one way or the other about Jar Jar, but, you know, to me, maybe that's part of why I don't like Jar Jar so much, is, you know, I have these deep-seated, you know, trauma from Snarf and Orko and the rest. But
funny.
I loved that show. I loved Firestar. I thought it was a, you know me, I'm always looking for the feminist angle on things, but I thought her character was really pretty progressive, and she was originally just supposed to be Mary Jane, and then they couldn't get the rights to do Mary Jane for some sort of reason, some legal tie-up, which wasn't out of the ordinary when it came to Spider-Man, and so they changed her into Firestar, created this whole new character who's now a part of the Marvel universe, much like, you know, Harlequin's the part of the DC universe. And and she was cool. And had cool powers and complimented Iceman really well.
She was hot. She wasn't cool.
I wanted to, I see how I laid that up for you right there,
right,
for you to nail that
one.
I've already embarrassed myself before with
the one episode I remember off the top of my head, and I don't remember who the villain was, but I remember Spider-Man had to save Iceman and Firestar. And what they did was they put Firestar in a refrigerator and Iceman in some hot box.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, that's awesome. They're going to come this time.
Yep. And it had some pretty cool villains. I mean, they fought Magneto. They fought Dr. Doom. Dracula. I mean, they had all kinds of cool, you know, villains that they went up against. Juggernaut. One of my favorite episodes is the X-Men episode where Wolverine has an Australian accent for some reason.
Good day, mate.
It was so weird. But, and Magneto was pronounced Magneto, I think, in a couple of the episodes. And you're like, okay, all right. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's one of my favorites from Saturday morning cartoons. How about
that's
you?
That's a good one.
Yeah, what would you say?
I don't remember the names of them, but I remember a lot of Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
I remember one where they're on an alien planet. I just remember a rhinoceros that shot, like, paintballs out of its horn. Again, I don't know.
Humanoids. Wasn't it the humanoids? Is that what it was called?
Could be. I can't remember. I know I've seen it somewhere.
I think
somewhere.
That was it.
Network, probably. But there was, like, a whole Hanna-Barbera stuff, because there was, Jabberjaws. There was Jabberjaws. I was definitely. Kung Fu Louie? Kung Fu Louie was a... gosh, man, I should have done more research on
this. What about, do you remember, was it Thundara? He was another, like, sort of a He-Man ripoff, and he had this Baka sidekick-looking guy.
Yes, I do remember that.
Thunder something, yeah. He was cool,
and then
too.
There was, what was it? Dragon's Lair. That was another one. There was another one where kids got sucked into, like, a video game or a...
Man, are you talking about Dungeons & Dragons when they took that ride and then they end up in, like, the alternate... Yeah, that was Dungeons & Dragons.
Was that Dungeons... Oh, man, because I remember to this day, I remember an episode where they're always trying to get back. And then there's some wizard, and they had to do some deal, and they got to it, and the wizard said, okay, I will grant you one wish. He's like, I want to be safe at home. I'm like, I'm sorry, be safe, you don't get to be at home. And they're like, oh. And I was like, wow, that wizard's a jerk.
Yeah, well, and I think that was a series that got canceled, and they never ended up finishing it, and a lot of people were pretty upset. It's sort of like, you know, Firefly kind of thing going on there. So, that was one that was definitely a Saturday morning. So, I mean, again, if we have some younger listeners out there, check some of this stuff out. Yeah. And it, just because you got to realize where what you like, you know, comes
Space
from. Because,
Space Ghost was another one.
Yeah. But
yeah, basically
and Jade
every,
and, yeah.
Everything that they somehow mock or put together or mesh with on Cartoon Network, that was a Saturday morning cartoon way back when.
Well, and we talked about this before, Robot Chicken, you know? I mean, if you don't get what they're parodying, that's because you didn't grow up when we did. And
you're too young.
Green, you know, did too. And it's like, it's so funny if you actually know, you know, what it is that they're spoofing in all of those ways. So, lots of fond memories about that. Sad to see that is to go, but, you know, there's a couple recommendations for you, some nostalgic recommendations for our listeners. So hopefully you are able to find that in some sort of format and check those babies out and take a trip down memory lane, especially if you have kids. It's great because they're definitely kid-friendly, a lot more kid-friendly than even cartoons are today. And I know my kids enjoyed Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and those others as well. So, cool. Well, sir, I think that wraps it up for episode number 14. So
not bad at all.
We
did well, I think.
I have to agree with that. I totally have to agree with that. So we'll be back again next week. Hopefully I won't vent as much about Gotham.
Well, we'll definitely talk more TV because tonight's the premiere of Arrow, so we'll check in on that.
True.
Who knows what's going to break in the nerdy world this week. So
check
next week. Stay tuned to Jason. What was your Twitter again? Because you're active. What is that?
It's at Applegate Jason. So it's just my name backwards. Applegate Jason.
So pay attention to Jason. He puts out some funny, funny stuff. Watch for us on Nerd Locker, the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, YouTube, iTunes. We're everywhere you want to be. I know it's the tagline for something else, but I'll steal it. But you guys have a nerdy week.